kids flow with a super weird word, nightgown. If you ask me, it sounds less like clothes you wear to bed and more like things you say to your clothes. Good night, capri pants, sleep tight sweaters, nightgown. We've got a big day tomorrow. Now a weird word I just made up, flotection. It sounds like great protection for your new home through me and Progressive, and that's because it is. I said good night, capri pants. Go to sleep.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Count it off. Let me get a quiet.
Nah. Keep that in there, bro.
All right. I just had to get like a quiet little second.
Actually, you're right. Take that out. We want sponsors.
So go ahead and count us off, bitch.
All right, well, start us off, man.
Yeah, I got you, bro. I got you. Don't worry about it. Yo, what's up, podcast people? And welcome back to another episode of the Dynamic Duo. My name is Legend of Winning, but people call me Lo for short because, you know, Legend of Winning is a little bit too long of a name. And my co-host, who is, you know, my
the main
dynamic
character.
Duo. No,
he
not the main character. You're the sidekick. You're Kobe to my Shaq. You're Pippen to the Jordan.
I'd rather be Kobe, actually, than Shaq. So, yeah, I'm straight with that.
You would be Kobe. I mean, Kobe might not. Let me chill. I was about to say Kobe might not be a top 10 player of all time.
But no, you don't want to go there already.
Let me chill for a second. But yeah, shout out to my co-host Agent. Let him know what it is, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I drove to GameStop specifically to drive to GameStop, and I just spent 8 hours of my day doing that. So I'm back after a nap. I'm ready to talk some NBA. All right, and Lo. It's difficult to not say stuff that's NBA related around you, but we kept it straight, so we got a host of dope topics to talk about. Let's get it started, man.
I mean, you don't know who brings up other stuff besides basketball. You just sat there and said you drove all the way to GameStop.
I did.
So that's on you.
Nah,
like you said, we got a whole bunch of topics to talk about. A couple things popped up. Obviously, the All-Star starters got it going. LeBron is really close to 30,000 points, and a whole slew of players allegedly supposed to be getting traded because the trading deadline is right around the corner. However, we're going to start this off-top podcast with the topic that I definitely wanted to ask Agent about a few weeks ago, how he felt about it. And that's Petty Pierce. Shout out to my man Paul Pierce. But Paul Pierce, over the last, really, it's been a couple of weeks now, he's been receiving a lot of slander about what's going on. For those out there who don't know, Paul Pierce, he's supposed to have his jersey retired, apparently. And I find this pretty interesting. The same time that the Cavs and the Celtics play, if I'm not, I can't remember when it is. Isn't it February, right? Or you don't know?
I remember Isaiah Thomas tweeted out about this. That's the extent of my knowledge. He said something like, oh, no, honor Paul Pierce. Don't worry about me that day. Because apparently they had like, there was a lot of contradiction there. They were going to host. It was a whole lot of, I don't know what's going on. Listen, Lo, we know you don't like Paul Pierce, okay? You come up with the Paul Pierce slander first thing first, all right? I'm not a Celtic fan either, all right? We're going to put some respect on Paul Pierce's podcast.
Now, look, here's the thing. I'm not, for people out there who don't know, Paul Pierce, jersey, supposed to be retired, the same day that the Cavs play the Celtics, and the Celtics are obviously home. When the Cavs come back, obviously Isaiah Thomas, that will be his first game back in the Garden. So they're going to have a whole tribute for Isaiah Thomas. And Paul Pierce openly voiced his frustrations with the decision that the organization made by hosting both Isaiah Thomas's welcome back tribute while also hosting, you know, Paul Pierce's jersey retirement. Now, I'm not going to lie, my personal opinion of it, I understand what he's talking about.
Oh.
No, I do. I get why he's frustrated. Please, let's not get that. I mean, I'm not the one who's going to sit here and try to slander Isaiah Thomas, slander Paul Pierce to the point of, you know, us disrespecting what he did.
You've done that before, though.
I've done it before, but in this situation, Paul Pierce put in, you know, work. You know, everybody thinks that just going out there and averaging these ridiculous amount of points is something that's easy to do. We're talking about a handful of players have done this, you know, in NBA history. And even to put Paul Pierce amongst not just, you know, Boston Celtics great, but just amongst all-time great players, he's still a top 100 top 70 player of all time. Look, I know you're trying to laugh.
Oh my God, listening to you give Pierce the compliment is the highlight of my day, man. Because you tried so hard, and then you said top 100.
Look, I don't know because you're laughing. I think people think I'm joking, but I'm dead serious. There's still only a handful of players who have done what Paul Pierce has accomplished throughout his career. So I understand why he wants that day to himself. I get it. I get it. I just don't think it should be, I don't think it should have been something that he voiced it. Like what that he voiced.
Why not, man? Hey, listen. We're too critical. When athletes say stuff or, you know, people that used to be athletes, like, let them get shit off their chest, all right? They're going to say what's on their mind. They all have opinions. Yo, you know how much years he gave to that organization? Before the Big Three got there, you know how much pointless years he had in Boston where that team was going nowhere? And he was just there racking up the points, playing, doing his job, and he was like the spark of hope for Celtics fans. Come on, can't be too much to ask for, yo. He's asking for one night. I get Isaiah Thomas is coming back. Isaiah Thomas had what, like, in terms of, like, significance in that city? Come on, man, we can't prioritize here. A little petty, you know, that he can't just share the day, but I feel some type of way, too, if I dedicated almost my entire career to a team. And they can't even just give me a day where they remember me without introducing a whole bunch of other figures who I'm sure he feels isn't as deserving of that honor when it comes to the Celtics franchise.
So that's the thing that does he feel as if Isaiah Thomas isn't deserving
easily.
Of?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, wouldn't you? I would feel that way if I was him. You know, he's dropping 27 points per game on years, just carrying the team.
Did he ever average 27 points per game?
Yeah, he has. Well, actually,
did he?
You got to round up. It was 26 points something a bunch of times.
I was about to say, we might have to look at Pierce. and that's the thing. I don't want to get caught up in the whole, like, we back and forth about, you know, Isaiah had a better season. So, you know, I get the whole, you know, to me it's petty that Paul Pierce said it publicly. That's the only reason why it's petty.
He has platforms where he could voice his opinion on stuff.
I know, but he could also just pull people aside and behind closed doors and have conversations and be like, "Yeah, we need to push a couple of things back, even if it's even
that's
if
not
it's
fun,
mine.
Yo." You know, sometimes athletes think something like, "Okay, let's do this. Let's say you're Michael Jordan. You're the owner of a team.
That's fucking Michael Jordan.
You know how much opinions you think he has about certain situations, but he'll never voice." Because people will start to react the same way you do, or millions of other people will on social media. Oh my, look at this. All hypercritical about the stuff he has to say. Like, I think if it's their opinion, they're like, listen, Kyrie, all right, the world could be flat to you. And I'm glad you said it out loud, but I still think he's stupid, all right? Because he thinks the world is flat. But I'm glad that he voices opinion on that. I guarantee you there's 5 other players that think the world is flat. I'd be surprised. They just seen Kyrie go through all the backlash. So many reporters asking him questions, clowning him on Twitter, and so they won't say it. So I'd rather them just speak their mind than stay censored on stuff. It's just more entertaining at the end of the day if people just say what's on their mind. Agree?
I get that. I get that point.
Okay.
But it's still something that you just put to the side. I mean, I just feel like he could have easily told Danny Ainge, like, look, we can do my jersey retirement another day. However, I think this is the real reason why it's petty. Because I don't think it's ironic that they decided to go with the Cavs playing them as well. Because Paul Pierce, and this is the reason why people really don't like Paul Pierce. Paul Pierce is really trying to rewrite history with how good he was as an individual player. And that's the reason why people are trying to really get on Pierce, because he had made comments about how if he was the same age as LeBron, or if him and LeBron were in their primes, and LeBron's career would be vastly different. I'm going to tell you right now, Paul Pierce, if LeBron and you are the same year, same age, or LeBron played in the early 2000s when you was in your prime, my guy, no one really would not know about you. Let's just keep it a buck.
I'm going to keep it a buck.
Like, again, I'm not trying to go too much in with Paul Pierce, but when he said that, I was like, Paul Pierce, like, I don't think you understand. So what he's trying to do is, while LeBron is there, because I mean, let's keep it 100 as well. Let's say hypothetically when they do the Paul Pierce jersey retirement thing, right? They're going to have some videos of him, you know, playing ball and stuff like that. Paul Pierce, let's say hypothetically speaking that the video the tribute video, Paul Pierce, is a 10-minute long video, right? 7 of those 10 minutes is going to be part of the big three. Because the other part of his career before that, there really is not enough highlights and memorable moments that people are going to like know about.
Individual plays, yeah, but stories maybe not.
Are they?
Of course.
I think if we're talking about Paul Pierce's career, and if we broke his career up, his Boston Celtic career, into a 10-minute video.
You don't think he had highlight plays, my guy? Trust me, bro. Because the first time I was introduced to basketball like that, I was playing NBA Street. I always used to rock the Celtics and play with Pierce. And Pierce had all these. He was such a versatile player in NBA Street.
Paul Pierce, stop fucking.
Yo, I promise you, I picked Paul Pierce. I'm not lying, man.
I'm gonna tell you right now. I had every basketball game, not every, but I had like a lot of basketball games from live to ESPN to Street to all that, and I've never picked Paul Pierce. There was never a moment in my life.
That's why.
No, but I didn't even know of Paul Pierce.
You didn't know of Paul Pierce when he was dropping 26 points per game?
I knew of Paul Pierce, but he wasn't like a... He just wasn't like...
He was on an insignificant team. You know what would be funny, though? I had this funny thought while you were talking.
But T-Mac was on an insignificant team in Orlando, and I knew about T-Mac.
Oh, that's very different situations, because he got relevant. Because he got relevant with the whole drama and the controversy with him and VC when he left, originally. So, I mean... God. You know, drama sells, right? All right, but take this in. I had this funny idea. You said a 10-minute video. First of all, I had no idea those tribute videos were that long. Second of all, on some crazy disrespect, wouldn't that shit be hilarious if they also mixed in Isaiah Thomas highlights?
That would be crazy disrespectful.
Oh my God, that shit just passed my mind, and I was like, oh my God. If he was mad about being on the same day, imagine being on the same video as they were supposed to be. Anyway...
But this is basically what I'm saying. I don't think Paul Pierce wants to even push back his jersey retirement date because he wants to do it when the Cavs are there. So when they play his highlights, it's going to be a whole bunch of highlights of him shitting on LeBron. Because that's literally when they're going to show those highlights of them with the big three.
Man.
I think that's what. How much you want to bet all the highlights that they're showing of Paul Pierce? Majority of them are going to be. The Celtics beating the Cavs, or the Celtics winning a few games against the Miami Heat when LeBron was with the Heat.
But
I promise you, it's going to be a whole bunch of Paul Pierce making shots over LeBron. I promise you, that's what it's going to be.
If that's the case, that would be so petty. I don't know how.
And
to
that's
think.
And that's the reason why I think Paul Pierce is petty. I think he's petty because of that. I think he legitimately wants to be known that I was Boston. For, you know, XYZ amount of years. I honestly could have left because he really could have left, but he stayed. And not only did he stay, but he persuaded other players to come. And that's the reason why I believe he does deserve his own day because they could have easily left. He could have easily left.
He deserves a whole month, to be honest.
I don't know about a whole month, but he definitely deserves his own day. But I also believe it's to the extent of he wants to do it while they're playing the Cavs. So they can play a whole bunch of highlights of him scoring over LeBron. I dead ass think that's the reason why. I'm not even playing. I think that's the reason why.
On a side note, what would also be in an alternate universe, he might want it to be against the Cavs because he wants front row seats to that game. Who knows? All right. I'd want front row seats to that game too.
He's a sports commentator. He could just.
I give up believing that athletes all have money. Okay. I just seen a story the other day. That and I didn't look into it.
He just retired. What are you talking about?
Yo, he could have had some casino gambling issue. I don't know. All right, I hold my. You know, you think they have a lot of money because the money they made over there. You never know. You never know how reckless they were, bro. They might have bought Land Rovers.
But he still has a job, though. It's not like he's like out here like Antoine Walker. Yeah. He's just like flat out broke.
Jeez.
I know. I just dropped the name, right?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Caught me off guard. I wasn't expecting that this early in the podcast.
I'm just saying he not one. I don't think he's one of them. I just think that I think he's just trying to shit on LeBron one more time, bro. To be honest with you.
Hey, he deserves to, man. He had a career. He deserves. In fact, he deserves photos just plastered all over the garden, bro. He needs all kinds of accolades, man. In a lot of situations where people would have left, he stayed. You know, it'd be funny.
That's a fact. That is a fact. That's something that people need to talk about more because he easily could have just left. He easily could have left.
And luckily. For him, it got better. Just like when Kobe was thinking about leaving, it also got better with the introduction of Pau Gasol, Bynum, and that whole Phil Jackson offense being revived. So, hey, I guess there's perks to not leaving your team. Oh, I was going to throw a shot there, but there's too many shots to throw. Seemed like a lot of NBA players have been doing that recently.
You talking about I think you're talking about Vince Carter. I was like, a shout out to Vince.
Oh, Vince, KD, LeBron, everybody leaving teams, bro. It's crazy.
Yeah, shout out to Vince. But I'm going to wrap it up like this. Is Paul Pierce petty?
If he did it for that, but we don't know the reason why he did it. But
Petty Pierce. But there's other things he's been saying that makes me believe he's Petty Pierce. Petty Pierce.
Yo, if Paul Pierce is petty, you need to tell me what Gilbert Arenas is for that show he's doing, bro. He talks shit about a lot of players, man.
Gilbert Arenas be on some nut shit. I be watching that sometimes. And it just be like, I don't know what you talking about, Gilbert Arenas. Some of the stuff I understand where he coming from, but other stuff I just don't get it at all. Yeah.
Anyway, we can move on to the All-Star starters. Yo, I'm not gonna lie to you, Lo. I don't care about the All-Star game till like the day before, man. Like, last year, I don't even know who the full roster was until I started watching the game. I literally didn't even...
But you don't watch basketball, Agent.
I do watch basketball.
Everybody who's listening, Agent's the only person I know who's like, let's start a basketball podcast, and he doesn't watch basketball.
Bro, I watch so... Yo, y'all won't believe this, man. Against my better judgment the other day, I actually watched a Timberwolves game, and I just felt horrible watching it. Because it seemed like they had no offense. Now, I missed the Raptors game because I was sleeping. I don't know how the Timberwolves beat my Raptors, all right? But what I do know
is... Because they have offense. That's how
they don't, though. Because, well, I have to watch more games to get a whole understanding. Before we get into the All-Star game, I have never seen so many wing players with the ability to score, not score. And Houston was shooting horrible. And they were still in the game. So I'm like, damn. The second Houston starts hitting their shots, they're going to blow this team out. What happened? Second half rolled around. I'm playing 2K watching the game on the side, right? I just keep peeping. I'm like, yo, how does Houston keep expanding the lead? It's because they're making their shots. Anyway, by the way, shout out to Houston. Also beat Golden State today. Those guys are on a roll right now. You know, they just got Harden back. Anyway, let's get to the All-Star stuff. Take it away, Lo.
For those out there who don't know, because you know how the new format is this year?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for those of them who don't know, the vote getters, the one who got the most votes in each conference, they are the captains of the teams, and then those captains of the teams are going to pick their team recess style. And unfortunately, Adam Silver said that they're not going to put this on TV. I don't know why he's not going to put the draft on
TV. It'd be a bad look for the players, though. Can you imagine?
No, but you know what's crazy? LeBron said he's fine with it. Curry said he's fine with it. Not just fine with it. Like, LeBron is like adamant, like, no, you need to just put this on TV. Because, I mean, let's also keep it a buck. If LeBron is saying he's fine with it and Curry's saying he's cool with it, nobody else is getting enough votes to outvote them anyway. So, like, nobody else is going to be captains but those two. And if Kevin Durant, because KD was kind of close with Curry. So, you really only have to be concerned about three players. And that's really it. So, I don't understand why it's that big of a deal. But, yeah, that's basically what they do. Also, as a side note,
but LeBron,
I suggested this a year ago on my channel. And so, they're doing it. Not to say
look at this guy go, man.
I said this is the perfect way to make the NBA All-Star game perfect. Because... last year's All-Star game was probably the worst I've seen in a very long time because no one didn't give a rat's behind.
So a rat's like, behind, okay.
You know, we're trying to get that sponsorship money. We're trying to get that sponsorship money. So I had to keep it on the low, had to keep it clean. However, the captains are LeBron, and the captains are LeBron and Curry. On the East, the starters are going to be DeMar DeRozan, my man Joel Embiid, obviously LeBron, Giannis, Kyrie. And then on the West... We obviously have Curry, Kevin Durant, James Harden, DeMarcus Cousins, and Anthony Davis. Any gripes with that starting five on either side?
No. For the first time in a while, I'm so happy with the East lineup. Not only is Joel Embiid, I might say this on the podcast, bro, my favorite player in the NBA.
Jeez. He's your favorite player?
Yo, he has a personality. He just says what's on his mind. I was listening to JJ Redick's podcast where he had Joel Embiid as a guest. And that's I could just relate podcast. With it. Joel Embiid say he doesn't have a car yet. There's YouTubers who just hit 10K buying Mercedes, yo. Joel Embiid doesn't have a car. He just seemed like a super humble guy. Says he games all the time. I'm like, bro, I relate with this guy. On top of the fact that he could really hoop. On top of the fact that he just seemed like so super genuine. So... okay, off rip, all right? He's my favorite, I think, right now.
You saw what he said about Rihanna?
Yes, which
that was hilarious.
Yo, that's who rejects Rihanna? Drake couldn't reject Rihanna. No, Joel Embiid did though. All right. Joe, of course I'm happy DeRozan's in there. I'm disappointed Lowry's not in there, but again, you can't really make
who
a case.
Who is Lowry going to get it? Oh, I have to say, who is Lowry?
He made it the last 2 years, all right, so that's what I'm saying.
As a starter? I don't think he made it as a starter the last 2 years. I know he didn't make it as a starter.
He was a starter 1 year. Actually, my memory is fading, but regardless, he was in it. Hey, Google, how many All-Star games was Lowry in? Hold on, wait for it.
They're going to say two.
She doesn't know. All right. If Google doesn't know, then
but that doesn't mean that he was a starter. That's all I'm saying.
Mm. All right. But anyway, I'm happy with the East team. Of course, if like teams took it seriously, the West would would destroy it. I'm gonna start asking Google stuff on the podcast. If you don't know the questions to something, Google knows the question. Oh, we need to get a Google sponsorship real quick.
But it's not. Yeah, we do need to get that. We need to get that Google bag. but it's not just yeah. Because I don't. People ask me this on Twitter. I don't know. I don't necessarily know how they're going to do this. I don't know if they have to. If the captains have to pick the other eight starters first before they can pick the rest of their team, so they know for a fact that the starters are going to start. I don't know how this is going to. Or I don't know if they just pick the starters. I really don't know how it's going to happen, but. There's some way how these 10 players must be starters and everyone else is obviously on the court. But yeah, I don't mind it at all. People were trying to make arguments for Al Horford. You know, I like Al Horford, and I think Al Horford is one of the more underrated players in the NBA because he obviously, you know, good passer, great spacing, high basketball IQ. He doesn't take that many risks when it comes to on a defensive end. So I like Al Horford, the great Al Horford. Shout out to the great Al Horford. But like Agent said, man, Joel Embiid is a much more energetic player that I actually want to watch.
Don't stomp out his enthusiasm with your hypercriticism, okay? Let's let Joel Embiid thrive in the NBA, saying what's on his mind, rejecting Rihanna in public, taking shots at Hassan Whiteside whenever he best sees fit, as long as he has the game to back it up. We need to let Joel Embiid do his thing, all right? I'm tired of the NBA badgering folks every time they make a statement, right? All these reporters in their faces, and then all the players just get sick of the media, and they start to pull a Marshawn Lynch, which is very understandable. So let's take Joel Embiid, all right? He has such a pure heart, right? He's not from the United States, all right? And let's make sure he flourishes in the NBA and just allow him to say what's on his mind, all right? Because I'd hate to see him start to get quiet later on in his career.
Oh, he's not going to get quiet.
Never know. He might make a statement that has massive backlash.
But he's going to pull a Marshawn Lynch?
And he might pull a Marshawn Lynch. You know how sad that... Anyway, off topic, but let's not do that. So, honestly... The only thing that's going to get me interested in the All-Star game this year is if they actually start to play defense. I get that's if they don't want to get injured, but yo, if you don't want to get injured, you don't want to just, yo, let someone else play the game. Trust me, there's going to be other people that want to play in the All-Star game.
Because I honestly think like Giannis and Embiid are going to be like, I don't know what y'all doing, but we about to out here and get this popping real quick. we about to start playing some defense. Real quick question though. What is Butler? Is Butler a shooting guard? Because Wiggins is a small forward, right?
Yeah. I guess he played. That's a good question.
The only thing that I had a problem with is that the Timberwolves didn't have anyone in the starting, and it's like I don't know how the Wolves had no one starting, and the Pelicans, who are literally like one game away from being out of the playoffs, how they had two players starting. That was kind of I get it. I'm not huge on the whole like debating about who should be a starter or not, but like I didn't get that part at all.
Yeah, well, I guess the coaches are still like the team that has the most wins in each conference, right?
Say it again.
The coaches are the team that has the most win in each conference still, right? That's been the same.
What do you mean? The coaches have
the coach for the All-Star team, legend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, 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 you're right. You're Jesus. Right, you're right. I was like, I don't know. Where are you getting at?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, so as long as, you know, the coach gives, like, he's not even like the starters play a lot more than the bench anyway. They try and do a good job of equalizing it. Of course, LeBrons and the Kobe's of the world would play more minutes, but yeah, I kind of want to see KD and Westbrook on the court together again, man. Last time it went smooth, but I'm telling you. There is potential conflict, and I really want to see it happen because it'd be entertaining.
So this is my next question. Well, two things. Well, I'll start with this because you brought up the whole KD and Durant. Oh, out of those starters, honestly, who is getting picked first? Who is LeBron picking first, and who is LeBron and Curry picking last?
I don't know who they pick last. That's going to depend on who's first, second, third, fourth, fifth, whatever.
But come on.
Yo, do you think they're going to start drafting their friends, or you think they'll get criticism
That's
for that?
You think Curry's gonna randomly get Curry's obviously not gonna get like Kyrie because that wouldn't make any sense.
Kyrie's already starting on the East. He can't be chosen by Curry, right?
No, they can pick literally whoever they want to. They can pick East or West, bro.
Oh my god!
So apparently you didn't know what was going on because
no, I did. I just didn't know that tad bit of information, like the word tad bit. I'm turning it to you now. Whatever. Oh my god. I'm calling tad bits of stuff now, Jesus.
So, Curry could, if he wants to, he could pick Joel Embiid on his team.
I would do that. I would get the most hyped team because it doesn't matter how much talent you have, right? At the end of the day, like, we want to see an entertaining game, all right? So, get all the entertaining folks in there. I don't care if they're bench players. Get them in the game. Now, I always tell people Blake Griffin needs to be in every All-Star game. He makes it entertaining. He has to.
Does he?
He does. To me,
At this point in his career, I don't know if he does as much.
What do you mean? He's still flying on the court? Were you pretending like he's...
Is Blake an All-Star this year?
Yeah. What you mean, bro?
Is anyone from the Clippers? Because a lot of people been saying like Lou Will should be an All-Star. And I was like, I don't know. He might be an All-Star.
How did you just go from his Blake Griffin All-Star to...
I'm asking, is anyone on the Clippers an All-Star? And I'm looking at Lou Williams, and I'm like, he might be an All-Star this year, actually.
Which wouldn't be a first. If Blake Griffin doesn't get chosen, and Lou Williams does, I am boycotting the NBA.
Blake Griffin hasn't even played like 30... How many games
on top of the fact that the guards? You tell me there's no... You can't find a handful of guards better than Lou.
That is true. That's true.
Come on, man. That's a very tough category, you know?
That is true. That is
like, Westbrook isn't even starting.
That is true. You're right.
So Dame has been getting snubbed. Can you imagine if they put Lou Williams instead of Dame? They would be an Occupy rally outside.
Which is my next question. So... Well, one, you didn't answer my first question. So you did. I guess you didn't answer my question of who does LeBron pick first?
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Well, it doesn't matter. Who do you think he picks last? Who do you think Chris Paul? It does kind of matter, but who do you think he picks last? If you were the captain, who would you pick first?
If I was LeBron, I'd choose Chris Paul. How much fun would that be? What you mean,
bro? First of all, he's not one of the starters. We talking about out of the starters, my guy. Who are you picking first?
I think LeBron really wants to play with Curry. I'm not gonna lie to you. You don't think LeBron?
He can't pick a captain though.
Oh, Curry's a captain.
Agent, where have you been in the last 20
minutes? I don't hear no information about the All-Star game to the day before.
This is what I'm talking about, people. Yo, come on, yo.
How does that even get remotely? If I watch the Raptors,
I just sat there and said that Curry and James are the captains. How can they pick themselves?
Okay, I would pick James Harden.
Okay,
I think LeBron wants to play with like a superstar PG.
If I'm Curry, I would pick Joel Embiid.
No, but pretending like this All-Star game doesn't exist, I dead ass think LeBron really wants to play with Curry. Like in the Warriors offense. I don't know why. I just feel like he's so busy doing ISO ball all the time. Yo, LeBron kind of wants to know how it feels to just move the ball around and still get buckets.
I dead ass think that Curry doesn't want to play with LeBron. I think Curry doesn't want to spend any time on the floor with LeBron.
I don't know if Curry wants to play. I just know LeBron is interested, bro. You can see it in the way he's looking at them on the bench sometimes when the Cavs and the Warriors are playing. Like, damn, they got a good offense even when the starters aren't on the court.
if KD never went there, and let's say hypothetically Harrison Barnes is there, and in the same situation happened next year or this upcoming offseason, will LeBron go play with the Warriors?
He wouldn't. Listen. He cares too much about his legacy. You know, Kevin Durant just wanted a championship. LeBron cares about his legacy. What you mean?
I mean, does he think that it's going to hurt his legacy?
Of course. Did you see the backlash Durant got? Imagine if LeBron lost.
I know, but I mean, but he kind of did. I mean, he didn't do exactly the same. But you think that's where he kind of draws a line?
You trust me, he cares about his legacy. There's a lot of decisions he makes where it makes it super clear. Last week, we're talking about his teammates. Well, some leaked information from some of his teammates, who we accused Tristan Thompson of, saying stuff about how he's holding the ball too long or potentially padding his stats. Like, that's not stuff you do generally unless you care about your legacy, like your stats, your image, right? But Durant, at the end of the day, he needed a championship. So for him, the decision was a lot easier. Plus, from what I understand, they were trying to recruit him like all year long. And Draymond was heavy on that. And I'm sure they got some persuasive people. You know, this is a pretty easy sell to make. But assuming there would be no crazy ramifications to his image, honestly, if I was LeBron, I would be really interested in playing with a team like that. We haven't seen an offense like this ever in NBA history. And
I think if LeBron went to go play for a team like that, I don't think people would enjoy LeBron as much.
I mean, do people enjoy KD now? I enjoy KD.
Not just that. I think LeBron fans.
Oh, definitely.
Regardless if they don't want to admit it or not, they enjoy the idea of LeBron.
They do.
Being the entire team and statistically being where he's at.
I think it's the same with Kobe too, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kobe fans would enjoy Kobe if he was like some 20-point scorer, which is why a lot of people enjoyed the fact that in his last game he scored 60 points, because that's Kobe.
Yeah.
I don't think LeBron fans would enjoy if LeBron played with I don't think they would admit this though, but they don't want it if he played for like the Spurs, played for Popovich, and his numbers took a massive hit, despite the fact that that he has a better chance of winning. I don't think LeBron fans would like that. And also, anyway, as a side note, I think Kyrie will probably be the last person picked.
Why do you think that?
Because why would Curry pick Kyrie?
What's up? It's Justin from the Driving Dish NBA podcast. When I was in eighth grade, I switched from wearing glasses to contacts because I liked playing the game of basketball. And ever since then, I've had to deal with getting contacts, which takes way too long. You have to sit in the waiting room for a really long time. It always kind of smells weird in there. That all changed when I found simplecontacts.com. You show them a picture of your prescription. You pick the brand of contacts that you use. You put in your address and they're on their way. And so much cheaper than going to a doctor every single time you need contacts. Took me about 15 minutes right before I left for work, and we're going to save you $30 off your first order with them at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or use the enter code almighty at checkout. That's $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/almighty, or enter the code almighty at checkout. Just remember, this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. They only do a test that makes sure your contacts are going to give you 20/20 vision. They don't write completely new RXs or examine eye health.
You never know, man. Hey, just because these players got like battles going on in game doesn't mean they can't be friends off the court.
I don't think LeBron. I mean, but why? I mean, Curry's already a point. Like, wow.
He is.
I think LeBron legitimately doesn't like Kyrie.
Why? Well, I mean, based on like how they left.
Why?
I mean, why? But you know, sometimes it could be just like, you know, the media likes to blow stuff out of proportion. But based on how he left, I wouldn't be surprised. But I don't think that's going to factor into his decision, because you assume there's going to be people accusing him of that exact thing. And he probably wants to stay clear of that. Regardless of which way you look at it, there's always criticism on snubs. And usually the criticism goes to all the fans, right? Didn't they almost get... Who was it? Zaza Pachulia almost made an All-Star game? Who was it?
Yeah.
Who was the player?
Zaza.
So, yeah. At the end of the day, we kind of just direct that accusation at the world for voting. But if there's an individual voting, there's going to be some real criticism. It's going to be trending on Twitter. It's going to be the talk of the town the entire next week. So, I'm sure he's going to want to try and avoid that type of criticism. And now if Dame gets snubbed again, he's going to talk to some people about it.
Well, that was actually my next thing I want to talk about. So Dame is, because this is something that's also very interesting. Lonzo's voting, the votes I had broke down for Lonzo, he finished sixth in fan voting, 13th in the player voting, and seventh in the media voting. So the media still voted Lonzo seventh in the West. That's crazy. Like, I like Lonzo, but that's crazy. The players voted him 13th, which is basically one of the worst guards, obviously, and I think that's where, at least from a voting perspective, a voting perspective. Also, Kyle Kuzma, he finished 10th in fan voting, 12th in player voting, and 9th in media voting. I say all that, 9th is pretty high as well. Yeah. I say all that to go back to the Dame part and him being snubbed. When you get to a point where Lonzo's getting so many votes that he's a borderline top five in the votings from the fans and the media, eventually, I mean, the Lakers, all they got to be is an 8th seed, and he's a lock to be in the fucking playoffs at that point. I mean, that's just going to be, I mean, if I'm looking at the voting how it is right now, that's basically how it's going to be moving forward. So, Stephen A. Smith apparently claims that he should demand a trade because he's not getting enough fan voting, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But is Dame he a snub, or are there legitimately better guards than him in the West? Yeah, because I don't think he's a snub. I just think there's better guards.
Well, I'm looking at his numbers, man. 25 points per game, which is his numbers have dropped low, right? Field goal percentage is 42. Field he hasn't shot dropped. That bad.
He hasn't played that well in the beginning part of the season. I'm just keep it a buck.
Well, yeah, it shows in the numbers too. He's shooting a higher volume of threes. That might have to do with why his field goal percentage has dropped. But in general, he's being less efficient as a player. He's playing more minutes than he did last year. And I think he still deserves to be an all-star this year. But if he does get snubbed, I think this is the year where you go like, okay, I can maybe see it. It just would never happen to someone like Lou Williams. All right, that would be like pushing the boundaries. Now, from what I understand, the players as a whole have a respect for Dame's game. You see the media sometimes and the fans disrespect him by putting him this far down in the voting or whatever. But with players choosing, I don't think there's a way he gets snubbed. It just won't happen.
If I'm not mistaken, the players only decide, they're only part of the decision for the starters. I think the rest is nothing but coaches, if I'm not mistaken. I think the
reserves are coaches.
Yeah.
Man, how did this situation? It just gets worse.
I think there's legitimately better guards in the West than Dame. I don't think it's that far fetched.
Hey Google, is Damian Lillard an all-star?
No, the answer is a no.
I want to hear it. Hey Google, do you hear her?
No, I can't hear. Look,
she's not saying anything. Don't worry about it.
Westbrook is better. Harden, Curry.
He's an all-star, by the way.
Wow. And then to be honest with you, Butler's probably going to be an all-star before.
Wouldn't that be a shame?
Is it a shame?
It would, yeah.
Would you think, do you even just as a player, who do you think is better?
Butler
or Dame?
As a whole, Butler, defensively, obviously.
That's what I'm saying. So why is it a shame that Butler gets in before him?
Because I think you need players like Dame more than you need players like Butler on your team.
For what?
To score, man. What do you mean, bro?
Bro, we're talking about... This is nothing that kind of pisses me off about the All-Star thing. People use All-Star appearances as, like, proof of someone's legacy or how good they are as a player.
No.
So, that's what I'm saying. Like, you might as well just give it to Butler, because, I mean, let's just be honest, he's a better player this year than Dame is.
You think Butler's having a better season than Dame?
I think Butler's having a better season than Dame.
Damn. Well, the players are voting. I don't know, because I'm not in the circles. Obviously, I'm Agent Zero. I'm not an NBA player. But I think they have more respect for Dame as a player. Jimmy Butler is just kind of coming up now. I'm looking at his numbers now. He's playing solid. I know you don't like the defensive rating numbers, so I'm not even going to bother bringing that up.
I don't think Dame is one of the better guards in the West for him to make the All-Star game. I just don't.
Nah, you killed my vibe, honestly, man, when you told me that the players don't even choose the bench. What is the point of the player choosing?
It's a coach. It's a coach.
Why? Why is the whole player choosing thing exist if they don't choose the bench?
Well, they only brought in the player thing to balance out the fan voting because the fan voting was getting out of hand. That's the only reason why the players.
So you're telling me the players don't even have the whole vote? They have to share it with the fans?
Bro, where have you been?
Yo, I'm not talking about this no more. I'm out. This is.
Where have you been?
I got so excited thinking the players are going to choose a team. I didn't bother checking up on it.
it's the starters used to be only the fans, and then it was getting a little out of hand.
Right.
So they was like, all right, we're going to split the starting vote between the fans, the players, and the media.
Right.
That's how they did it. And then the rest has always just been coaches. If I'm mistaken, please correct me. I'm pretty sure y'all gonna at me on Twitter anyway. But I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
Honestly, I hope you're wrong. Let's move on from this topic, bro. I don't want to speak about this if the players aren't choosing the bench. Look, it is pointless. Dame, it is a gimmick.
Dame is not a snub, people. I'm sorry to tell y'all. I like Dame. I made a video about how he's underrated. But he's not a snub.
That was
he's
one of your snub. First videos, Lo, in your infancy.
Yeah, I know.
I remember those days.
He's not a snub, though. Moving on to the rumor talk, because there's a lot of trade rumor going on. The trade deadline is right around the corner. They actually moved the trading deadline for people out there who don't know it. I'm pretty sure Agent is one of these people. They moved the trading deadline before the All-Star break, so it's February 8th. If I'm not mistaken, the reason why they did this is because of the DeMarcus Cousins rule. I know you did not know that as well. I know you didn't know that. I know you didn't know that.
Go ahead.
Exactly. So they moved the trading deadline up to February 8th, which is before the All-Star break. So that's the reason why it's a lot more talk about trading rumors. This
What's the DeMarcus Cousins rule? Why'd they call it that?
Because DeMarcus got traded during the All-Star game.
Deadass, that's why they moved it?
Yeah, that's why they moved it.
Oh, my God. So they can, that's hilarious.
So they can actually trade it. It just so happened last year that the All-Star game was in New Orleans, so it worked out.
Yeah.
But, like, just imagine, like, if you in the middle of fucking, you're in one city, and you got traded, and you got to go fly back and forth. So it was like, we're going to do it before the All-Star game this year.
Well, they should pause on reporting it until after the game. Doesn't that solve the issue?
I guess, but I mean, it kind of still, it may be some type of inconvenience.
All right, I guess
There's quite a few players that have popped up in the trading rumors, and also the Cavaliers. All right, let me talk about this first. The Cavs, apparently, they're the Lakers now, because everyone is getting traded to the fucking Cavs. We got DeAndre Jordan going to the Cavs, George Hill going to the Cavs, Lou Williams going to the Cavs.
Right.
Kemba's going to the Cavs.
Who else, Lo? Keep
DeMarcus,
going.
DeMarcus is still going to the Cavs.
Oh, DeMarcus!
Everybody's acting as if like that Brooklyn pick is still the first pick in the draft. So that pick has the most value out of all picks that everyone has right now. So that's also pretty crazy. I don't know. And then apparently LeBron still needs like three more All-Stars on his team for him to win, which is the most dumbest thing.
Listen, he's always going to be one piece away. Because he'll never beat the Warriors' current team. Only way is with injuries. We talked about it last week. It just won't happen. So you pick up, for example, you know what? When I heard all the trade rumors, I was like, DeAndre, do you guys really need DeAndre? All right, you got Tristan Thompson already. How are you going to move that massive contract? I don't know. Easily the best fit. The best possible situation for the Cavs is if they get George Hill. First of all, let me inform everybody, because I used to really mess with...
Is that really a good...
Yes. Really let me explain why. I used to really mess with the Pacers, man. So I used to watch George Hill play all the time. And it really became clear to me when he moved to Utah. And of course, he had the injuries. But when he was healthy, I'm telling you right now, he is one of the best two-way guards in the NBA. All right.
That's not that hard to
All right, fulfill, but defensively, he's really solid, which we can all agree. Based on the fact that the Cavs gave up 150 points today, is something they severely need, right? How you let Steven Adams drop you off, man? If you're letting Steven Adams drop you off, you need to just click the reset button. Like, if you're not a Cavs fan, you're not worried. Defensively, there's so many issues, and it's going to get better over time with chemistry, but it won't get good enough. You'll never be able to defend teams like the Warriors that have too many options, right? George Hill is a defender, and he could lock down the best of them. At least, you know, you could lock down as much as you can lock down, right? If there's a player, if Kyrie has the ball, right, and it's the final shot, I'll put Giannis on him. I'll put LeBron on him. I'll put Durant on him. There's only a handful of players I'll put on him. I think I'll put George Hill on that list. So you want him defensively as a player. A PG
George
who just
Hill,
does
George
his role.
Hill isn't, George Hill
and,
isn't that good.
And bro. More than anything, I think he's an upgraded Mario Chalmers, is what LeBron used to play with, or an upgraded Derek Fisher, what Kobe used to play with, because he's very efficient offensively. He can shoot the three ball. He got the three-point marker by his name when you play 2K, right?
Wow.
He's almost the perfect player to put on that team. Honestly, I would go out and get him if I were them. In fact, I don't even know they have Isaiah Thomas because I would rather have George Hill.
Okay, that's what I was just about to ask. So what are they doing with Isaiah Thomas and Derrick Rose?
I don't know. Because it's cool to have Isaiah Thomas. He's a dope player. But right now, they are not in need of dope players. They have a surplus already, okay? They already have a lot of dope players. They severely need defense. And they, if they're all in this year to win, offense is not going to be the issue. So they're going to be looking to make some moves. It's going to be a weird situation if they do end up trading Isaiah Thomas because they won't get back full compensation for him, you know. They'll definitely get ripped off because teams know that the Cavs need them more than they need the Cavs. So it's a weird situation. I feel bad for the Cavs now because they kind of got themselves locked in a weird situation where they just assumed everything was going to work out. And it's starting to really click that it might not. And what if it doesn't? I don't know. Who would you rather have? Isaiah Thomas or George Hill? I would rather have George Hill. As long as George Hill stays healthy. As long
as he stays healthy. I'd rather have Isaiah Thomas, but I think that, because George Hill isn't that great of a defender for me to like just overlook.
He is.
No, he's not that great of a defender. One. Two, especially because a lot of defenses now, it's a lot more team-oriented. It's not like one-on-one defenders like in the 90s and the early 2000s. Like, you just got to be on the same page with everyone defensively. So you can have a really good defender, but if everyone is on the same page, then you're still going to be taking advantage of on the defensive end. The problem with the Cavs is this. Tristan Thompson is making way too much money.
Way too much.
And they have to find a way to get rid of that Tristan Thompson contract.
They will never. Which, the teams wouldn't even take it for free. Teams wouldn't even take it if the Cavs also gave him a first-round pick because it's that bad of a contract.
Because and the reason why I say that it's so important that they have to get rid of Tristan Thompson in that contract is because financially next year, they're so screwed if they keep, let's say hypothetically, they keep Tristan, that even if LeBron, which he is, when LeBron comes off the books and Isaiah Thomas comes off the books next year, they're so screwed financially that they still won't have enough money to add any player of significance in the upcoming offseason because they're paying Tristan Thompson the amount of money they're paying him and they're paying Kevin Love and J.R. Smith and the rest of them. So financially, they really don't have enough space and wiggle room unless they trade Tristan Thompson or Kevin Love. But I think Kevin Love at this point, he's too valuable to the team. Tristan Thompson is now coming off the bench. So you're paying, I think Tristan Thompson making like $15 million or something like $15-17 million. You're paying someone that much money coming off the bench, so you have to get rid of him. But the problem is, I don't know of any team in the NBA right now that wants Tristan Thompson, like you said, even if they were to throw in that Brooklyn Nets pick. That's the problem.
Listen, Ryan Anderson's contract right now is immovable, and he's actually a pretty decent player. So Tristan Thompson? First, he can't shoot a three ball. He's good defensively. He's great on the boards, great on offensive rebounds. But you're basically getting a pure glass cleaner.
I was about to say, that's all you're getting is just rebounding, though. That's all you're getting.
Yeah, not even like a mixed archetype. He's just pure glass. No one's paying that sum for him. And I'm saying, if the Rockets couldn't even move Ryan Anderson in the offseason, the Cavs don't stand a chance moving Tristan Thompson. He is stuck there. Nobody, and it's a long contract, too, so it's not even like a year and he's off. Nope. Which I think we all agree, when that extension happened, immediate mistake. I know you want to keep Tristan Thompson around, but you just gave yourself zero options in the future. I remember saying that, and this is the future, and they officially have zero options.
Tristan Thompson this year is making 16.4, next year 17.5, Jeez. The year after that 18.5. Even if you were to pair that with the pick, the only team I can think that's willing to trade is the Clippers with DeAndre. And that would be because if DeAndre straight up came up to the, like, DeAndre would have to straight up just walk up to the organization, to the front office and be like, yo, I'm not going to return. And if that was the case, I'd be like, all right, we're trading you then. But that would be literally the only way I would even remotely think about trading away Tristan Thompson.
They're in a tough situation, man. And LeBron is a GM. So
LeBron's a GM.
So LeBron has to make some moves before the trade deadline, man. Or they're going to be in some trouble. Now, everyone's saying they're one piece away, but we all know they're really just like 4 or 5 pieces away. So it might take more than one move. We might see a couple veterans hop on the team, make the oldest team in the NBA a little bit older.
That's a fact.
They're in a tough spot, man. It's really going to be hard to squiggle out of this one. You know, the only more difficult situation I've seen was when Masai Ujiri found a way to trade Brunyani to the irrelevant Knicks. All right. That's the only other time I've seen something. I was like, oh, how did you move that contract? So he's going to have to pull a Houdini. LeBron's going to have to pull some crazy stuff on the phone with all the general managers. You think LeBron gets paid the GM salary?
I think LeBron has that entire organization by the balls. And if he told them, to pay me $15 million underneath the table, they would do it.
LeBron is going to own part of the Cavs. He has to.
Even though he's not supposed to, they're not supposed to be doing that, he obviously is going to own part of the Cavs.
Yeah, he'll definitely do something like that.
Which is another reason why I don't think that he's going to ever leave. I don't think he's leaving again, because if he leaves and the value of the Cavs goes down so much that it's, I mean, he would still want to own the Cavs because it's his hometown. What if
he
retires
low? He can't play forever, man.
No, what I'm saying, people think he's going to leave this offseason. I don't think he's leaving because I think he wants to, like, retire as a Cav so he can keep the value.
I get that, but I think he cares more about his legacy than he does, you know, what happens after his...
But that could be part of his legacy, though. Like, continuing the Cavs as a relevant franchise even post his career.
I wouldn't want part of my legacy to be losing to the Warriors 7 straight finals. And that's the route it's going, man. If
like
nothing
I said
changes.
Before, like I said last week or last podcast, shout out to the person who also quoted me on Twitter. LeBron is the only player where his legacy gets better for whatever reason after a finals loss. So I don't know how that happens, but that's LeBron.
Because all the fans make the if and statements, the if but statements. But if and LeBron and KD didn't move here, then no, stop it right there, man. We're living in reality, and reality is, as much as I love the Raptors, well, there might be some, but there's not a lot of people standing hope that they're gonna beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. And the same goes for every single franchise, man. I live in realism, in the real world, where it's a little bit depressing that one team has such a big monopoly.
That man said I live in realism.
Yeah, so I do. I also live in grammar. That's what I've been doing recently, just living near and within grammar and spelling.
But going back to the trading thing, you're right. Even if they were to trade for someone, they're still not beating the Cavs. I mean, they're still not
beating
the
Warriors. Doing then? Are they trying to clear space? Are they trying to get better?
I think they're trying to clear space for the next offseason to make moves.
But because what if this is their last? What if it's their last chance to take a real shot? You know, they're people are saying they're probably gonna make the finals. You don't know if the team's gonna be like this next year. So if this is one of your, I assume they'd want to like lock in low, take their best shot at Golden State, and see if they can come away with a W. But if they're too busy trying to shed contracts and make space and build the future, then everything might fold on them. They already gave away Andrew Wiggins. Right, they put themselves in a hole by re-signing Tristan Thompson. They don't really have any young guys they could fall back on. So
young guys at all.
There are plenty of teams that are competitive now, but also have young guys that you think are like, oh, they could definitely, you know, they'll help keep the team up even when some of these players move. They'll still be a decent team. There's no player like that for the Cavs. So it'd be interesting to see what direction they go, man. I'm interested to see if they start building for the future now. If they just know what's up. But GM LeBron's probably not gonna let that happen.
Yeah, they're probably not. Many people are trying to figure out, like, should they just keep the pick? I'm not gonna lie, at this point, if I were LeBron, yeah. if I was LeBron, I would just keep the pick. I know like people think that LeBron just doesn't want to play with a young player. He probably doesn't, but like Agent said, you have to keep the young talent around you so you can keep this going and keep everything progressing. Because at some point, the J.R. Smiths and the Kyle Korvers, they're going to retire. The D. Wades and them, they're going to retire. And so it's kind of pointless just to keep believing that these older players are going to keep things at status quo. And if Isaiah leaves, if they can't get PG, and if Tristan Thompson's still in their books, then yeah, next year they are screwed. They are plateauing. Which, as a side note, this is probably why Kyrie was like, I gotta get off this fucking boat, because I'm not about to stay on this thing trying to figure out what y'all about to do following LeBron back and forth. But yeah, that the Cavs are kind of, I'm not gonna lie, the Cavs are kind of screwed when you really think about it.
If they win this year, I think it all pans out. But if they don't, they're gonna be in some trouble.
Agent, you know they're not winning this year.
Yeah, come on, I know. I already know. Yo, Lo, what do you think about Kemba Walker, man? Knicks fans, I feel for you guys, bro. Trust me. I've been there. The team's been trashed for so long, you don't even remember what a good team looks like anymore, right? Losing left and right, even though you got potential players here, Kuzminkis there and the Porzingis is there. They just can't seem to band together enough wins to actually spark some hope to make the playoffs.
You talking about Kemba going to the Knicks?
Yeah. There was a rumor that Kemba might go to the Knicks.
Low key. That might be a nice move. Yeah, apparently there's a whole bunch of like reports that Kemba is afraid that he's going to get traded. Like, I don't think Kemba necessarily wants to get traded, or he doesn't want to get traded on his on
at least
on
other people's Knicks
terms. Oh yeah, he might not want to get traded. Oh no, he's from Brooklyn, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, he could be from wherever. I just know that team is a little bit of a disaster right now. Honestly, with the ownership, I wouldn't trust that ownership together a competent management team to actually build a championship contender.
So the other team besides the Knicks is Detroit, and then right. I think the Nuggets are those are the three teams that are rumored right now.
I don't
now.
See how Kemba could help Detroit. Maybe the Nuggets.
Because Reggie Jackson is inconsistent and he's been dealing with injuries. The problem is with Detroit, though, all of their players are, not all of them, but all the major trade pieces are injured right now. So, unfortunately, they're more likely not going to have any pieces to trade to go out there and get Kemba Walker, because Reggie Jackson's hurt and Avery Bradley is suffering from injuries right now as well. And unless the Hornets are willing to just trade injured players, I don't think that's going to work either. The Knicks, they have some young pieces. If the Knicks are willing to get up off of Neal Akina, I think that would be I think that's honestly a good trade, because I think Kemba could immediately affect the Knicks to the point where they could make the playoffs moving forward. And Kemba's a good enough player to keep them afloat until Porzingis kind of really comes into his own. In a very similar situation with Denver as well. I think Denver, Jamal Murray, and maybe another young piece is enough to go out there and get Kemba.
Is it smart to give away a piece like that? Like, Jamal Murray, by all standards, shown he can hoop. He just really hasn't seen.
That's a fact.
He hasn't seen consistent minutes. I feel like he has a good home in Denver. They just haven't been really giving him a chance. I feel like he could fit if he got more minutes in the rotation. But if he does move to another team, that player could hoop. Plus, he's also one of Canada's last hopes of hope. So
that's a fact. We definitely got to talk about that one day.
Yeah,
the fact that all Canada's players are trash now.
We've just seen Wiggins drop 29 today, bro, shooting 50%.
Okay, how about this? They're disappointing. They're underperforming.
Oh my god!
Okay, we'll say that. What about to say? But yeah, it's. I don't know where Kemba's going to go. I will say this though about Kemba, that I think many people are kind of like, let's low key pump the brakes on Kemba. I like Kemba. I made a video about how, you know, Kemba is a really good player.
Man, you're like that person who says they have that one black friend. Stop referring to your one video you made as proof.
No, I'm just saying, because you know, if you speak the truth on some of these players, people get upset and they start adding you on Twitter. But Kemba is not a good enough player that you're going to add to your team that's going to be the make or break from you making like the second or third round. Like
I think he is.
I don't think he's that good.
You don't think, if good. Kemba went to the Knicks, that's an immediate playoff team?
Playoff team, yes. But I don't think that's enough for them to be like, not only are the Knicks a playoff team, but now they're going to the second round of the playoffs. No.
But that would have that to good. Be top four in the conference to do that.
The Knicks are like three games, like two or three games out of the playoff race right now. It's not even like crazy for, it's not even that hard to believe that they wouldn't make the playoffs right now, even without Kemba.
But if they did, they would get destroyed in round one.
And if they had Kemba, they would still lose in the first round.
But I think it'd make it a contest. Depending on how Kemba plays in that offense, we haven't...
Oh, I don't know about that.
You don't think so?
I think Kemba's a solid... Kemba's a solid player, but you have to have... I'll say this. You have to have another top 10 player with Kemba for it to be really interesting.
I think him and Porzingis would be a good combo.
It would be a good combo, but Porzingis, like I said, it's good enough for Porzingis to kind of weather the storm until he gets to that point where he's definitively a top 10 player in the league, which might be sooner than later. But I don't think that until that happens, until it's very clear that Porzingis is the best player on the team, Kimba can't be the best player on the team, and you're for sure going to make the second round.
But you know what I do know for a fact? I think Kemba and Joakim Noah could work together, bro, and revive each other. They could revive his career, man. And I know people like to say he fell off because he dropped 5 points per game last year. But listen, man, he used to be a great defensive player. Okay, all right. If Kemba, honestly, I think that's, if you're a Knicks fan, man, you're praying for hope. You lost Melo. And even though he wasn't that great on the team.
I was about to say, every New York Knicks fan is rejoicing that they lost Melo right now.
Really? Because the ones I've been talking to kind of feel a little bit like.
You're talking to Waff. You're talking to
No, Waff, you don't man. Think I know people from New York, man?
Who? What's my man's name? Phantom?
Not just. Why are you making me name individuals, bro? I'm telling you, man.
Drop the names. Drop the names, kid. ALB, drop the names, money. Hey, son, drop the names.
Oh, my God, man. Listen, yo, here's what I know. Every time I see, it seems like the Knicks just, every season they have hope. Oh, this is the year. And then every season they get deflated as it goes on. I know they're division rivals with the Raptors, okay? But I need these guys to have some life, man. It's like they got the life beaten out of them to start the season. I think Kemba is what could revive that. To have an elite point guard, finally? How long has it been for the Knicks to have a point guard of that caliber? He's not a top 5 point guard, but you can make a case he's top 10, right? Kemba's top 10?
Yeah, he's top 10 point
guard. All right, yeah. Just to have a top 10 point guard.
Without me thinking about it, he's top 10. Also, for the people out there who say he's going to the Spurs, he can't go to Spurs. There's nothing that the Spurs have to trade.
But that would...
That would be
insane.
A great fit, though. That would be a phenomenal fit.
Yeah.
That would, but like, as you clearly see, Kemba's not, he's not going to be the best player. It would still be Kawhi. And then him and LaMarcus could, that's a good 2A, 2B situation. That is the perfect situation for Kemba. That's how Kemba would be over the top.
Speaking about Kawhi, I feel bad for him, yo. He got injured.
Pray for my man Kawhi.
Yeah, could we get a prayer? Could we get a prayer from all the podcast listeners today for Kawhi Leonard, man? First of all, shout out to the Spurs for keeping it afloat without Kawhi. All right, they're doing a phenomenal job.
Shout out to LaMarcus.
Yep, defensively as a team, they're still finding ways to lock down. And I just saw like the most poetic speech ever from an interviewer was talking to Greg Popp, and he was like, basketball is not my life. It's just part of my life. You know, I learned as a coach and this and that. And he has really good philosophies, man. I would love to sit down and talk with him. But Greg Popp is Greg Popp. He's going to do Greg Popp things. And what he does is, even when what he does when Kawhi is out, they still find ways to win. But with Kawhi out indefinitely, he'll definitely be back by the playoffs, well before the playoffs. And he'll get some reps.
Really? Oh, you said that kind of confidently. I don't know if it'll be well mean, before the playoffs.
Because he had like a sore something. It didn't seem like a serious injury. It seemed like he could be back 2 weeks from now or a month from now. But if he was out all the way to the playoffs, I'd be so surprised. But I think
it's still his right quad though.
Right.
I mean,
it is.
I could be wrong, but I just feel like it's something that's still kind of looming.
I feel bad for Spurs fans because there was an injury in the playoffs last year. Skip consecutively calls him, was it Zaza Pachipshot?
Yeah, Zaza.
It's always funny when I hear that. I don't know why. And ever since then, it seems like they couldn't find any consistency. Shout out to Aldridge against the Raptors, shot 6-for-25 on some atrocious shooting percentages. But they're holding it together, and Kawhi is out indefinitely. Do the Spurs stand a chance to win?
Hell no.
You don't think they need my guy?
They still need Kawhi, and even when they have Kawhi, they're still not good enough.
Okay, Kawhi comes back a month before the playoffs. He gets warmed up, it's the playoffs. Do they stand a chance?
Hell no.
You don't, man.
Like, it's who?
To win, even with Kawhi,
I don't think they might. I think this might be the year where D'Antoni finally beats Popovich in the postseason.
Really?
Yeah, I think
honestly, I see that happening too, especially with the addition of Chris Paul this year.
Yeah.
But what I tell you last podcast, Lo, I hate counting out the Spurs and the Cavs because they always find a way to get me to shut up.
Is it really counting them out, though? I mean, like, I think if they were to lose, I think it would be very clear to what's going on. Like, the team just doesn't have enough. Like, I don't think anyone really looks at the Spurs.
I don't see how they don't have enough, man. Pau Gasol was hooping the other day.
They but got Powell is like 30. What is Powell?
Stop bringing up his age every time we talk about Powell. That doesn't mean anything. He's still hooping. He's that the ageless wonder. Mean something.
He can't play 30 minutes a game because he's like 38.
But there's always a day in between playoff games. So it's not like you're running back-to-backs, my guy. He'll get some rest.
Oh, my God. All right. Right? What are you about to say? What are you about to say?
I think Houston – well, I hope Houston's going to win, but I don't know if they played in the playoffs who would win. Because it seems like Houston is a team that lives and dies by the three. I know people accuse Golden State of doing that. It seems like all those accusations are thrown out the window since they won those two championships. But Houston, dead ass, lives and dies by the three. If they're banging that game, they will destroy you. If they're missing that game, then they will struggle. And I think that's a glimpse of hope for the Spurs going up against the Houston Rockets. Because they're not always going to hit their shots. And so when you're going up against a team that good defensively, I just don't know how you can just go, oh, they won't make it.
I'm trying to look at this situation right now. Low key, they might actually have enough. This is very interesting. So next year, they have $99 million. This is the Spurs. $99 million set on their cap. However, Danny Green and Rudy Gay have player options. And Danny Green next year is set to make $10 million. Rudy Gay is set to make $18 million. So really, you can take $18 million off that $99 million and have only $89 million. I mean, $81 million, excuse me. There's a possibility that the Spurs could actually sign someone huge in this upcoming offseason.
But we're not talking about that, though.
I know, but the only reason I'm saying that because I'm kind of fucking done with... Prayers go out to Kawhi, but, like, they're not going to...
Trust me, Lo. Like, I counted them out, like, 3 years consecutively, and they kept burning me, man.
There's nothing really to count out. Like, this team is obviously, like, kind of hit their mark.
Why
like,
do you they, think that? They just haven't had a chance to play with the whole team consecutively. But that, there's I mean, always somebody falling out.
But I think that's the problem, though, is that it's always, like, the team is suffering from injuries. Some of the young players haven't really panned out as much as Popovich might have wanted them to pan out. Because we're still waiting on... what's my man named? The tall dude, light skin. They still waiting on Kyle Anderson. No, Kyle Anderson, wow. They're still waiting on Kyle Anderson to kind of turn it around. They're still waiting on DeJounte Murray's kind of up and down. They still need a few players to kind of really step up and be consistent enough for them to be plugged in into the starting lineup or at least a consistent player in the rotation. But that won't happen because, like, again, no one is consistent enough. So if they can go out there and get a good, solid player on their team and add them to the roster, then I think that right there would actually put them in the conversation. Nah, stop doing
that. Don't do that one player away thing. They got Rudy Gay in the offseason, man.
I think they're legitimately, like we just sat there and said, if they got Kemba, that would be very interesting. And I think you're right. If they got a player of Kemba's caliber, that would be interesting.
I disagree with you on that, man. The team as a whole, I think, excels on defense, and a lot of people they almost pretend like that doesn't exist a lot of the times. Like, you don't have enough scorers, you just won't win. But in the playoffs, like, the focus is on the defense. It's the team that's going to clamp down that's going to end up winning the game.
You still got to score, though. I mean,
you
still
do, but I think Houston's losses in the last few years have proven to us that D'Antoni's philosophy of who needs defense when you could outscore them doesn't pan out all the time unless you have, like, an insane amount of talent. And they've had crazy amounts of talent on Houston this year more than ever, so we'll see if it puts them over the edge. But I'm looking at the roster right now, man. They picked up Rudy Gay, a player like Brent Forbes.
Has Rudy Gay been playing good?
Yeah, well, he's shooting 47%. I've never seen him shoot this high. He's shooting 39% with the Raptors, so he's definitely upped his game. He's kind of become like the Vince Carter player, where he just plays his role. He's only playing 22 minutes per game, but when he's needed, he has been hurt. So Kawhi's also been hurt. Patty Mills has been playing solid. I feel like for the Spurs, it's one of those teams where a new player steps up every game. Like, one day Manu Ginobili will be the story. Next game, Pau Gasol. Next game, Aldridge. Next game, DeJounte Murray, who's also been a phenomenal backup. I just refuse to count these guys out, man. I think they're at least going to make the second round, and they might push the third round based on how the injury situation pans out. That's how I feel.
I don't know if they're pushing the third round, but I guess we'll see. Because I think it will be interesting, though, to kind of see what's going to happen to them, because I think they're one playmaker, solid playmaker away, and just put Tony Parker on the bench type of a deal. But I think that this team, the way that they're constructed now, even with a healthy Kawhi Leonard, I don't think that they're going to be that good at all.
All right. Well, I disagree with you on that one. I think we'll get a better idea of what we could expect from them as we head into April.
True. Real quick, the wrap up the pod real quick. You want to touch on the CJ McCollum trade rumors real quick, or what's up?
I feel like he's in trade rumors every year, so I just refuse to even acknowledge that they exist at this point.
I'm just happy that people are starting to realize, like, CJ and Dame can't be in the same backcourt with one another.
Yeah, like that, I feel like
that's something that should have been realized, mm-hmm. like, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't understand why it took so long.
You know, the yin with the yang. You can't have two players so similar playing with one another. It's good to have a balance in a relationship like they do on their team. I don't think he's going to get traded, though.
I don't think he'll get traded either.
The Trailblazers have made some really horrible signings that kind of restricts them when it comes to making moves. Evan Turner comes to mind in recent years. So we'll see. Is Evan Turner still on the team? Is he on Dallas now or something? Let me check.
No, he's Evan Turner's on the team.
Jesus.
It was who did they sign in trade? I can't remember who it was. They signed someone to like a ridiculous Allen Crabbe. They signed Allen Crabbe to that ridiculous contract, and they had to trade him away to the Nets. Yeah, and Evan Turner's making crazy money. Dame is making crazy money. CJ is making crazy money, and then they have to pay Nurkic after the season ends. So they don't have enough money, which is the reason why I think a lot of people are looking at like CJ. If you trade CJ, you get a much more a couple pieces that plug in, much more well-rounded unit, and I think everything will kind of work itself out. But I don't know.
Just to put it in context here, CJ McCollum is getting paid $23 million. Let's be super clear. That's not going to be easy contract to move. And Evan Turner is getting paid $17 million. I don't even know if you want
as
me to read
out. As a bench player.
And he's not even an efficient bench player. And he doesn't really bring anything to the table like that. It's just insane. Well, hey, get your money. You can get your money how you get your money. Yeah, he needs to pay his agent an extra 5%.
Evan Turner is not even averaging 10 points. I know points don't always depict what's going on, but like $17 million. You're not even giving me 10 points. Like, I don't know how that... Like, Evan Turner shouldn't be that bad of a player. But he's not that good at all. And Nurkic hasn't been... Nurkic has been up and down. I'll just say he's been up and down.
Yo, on top of that, you know Dame and CJ McCollum are attracting double teams. My man is shooting 28% from three.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Oh, man. That's a funny signing.
But, yeah, that's gonna be an interesting team. And before we wrap it up, my man LeBron.
I feel like we're talking about LeBron too much.
He's on the verge of 30K, bro.
And you know why he didn't get it today? Because he got destroyed by the Thunder.
Bro, you're ODing right now.
He got embarrassed.
This is what I'm talking about. No, we were supposed to be giving LeBron some prop, and here you go.
No. I gave LeBron props already. We got to talk about how his team allowed 148 points in a basketball game.
Okay, so while he talks about this, shout out to LeBron, because when he gets it, we're more likely going to be a little late on it. So shout out to LeBron for the 30K points. Okay,
no,
so there's that.
LeBron. Honestly, now, I feel like LeBron should have got it in that game. Paul George dropped 36 points, all right? First of all, you'd be like, all right, so there wasn't anybody close to him, right? Nope. Melo dropped 29 points. Steven Adams had 25 and 10, and Russell dropped 23. You let everybody drop buckets. If their defensive problems, it's just...
The box score looks like, what is this shit called? The box score looks like you're playing 2K and you're trying to go for some badges, yo. This man, Russ, got 20 assists.
He's badge grinding in real life.
Russ is badge grinding in real life.
Oh, he definitely got dimer after this game, man.
That's crazy. Paul George is out here just pulling up for 11 threes. That's crazy. that's crazy. Adams and Anthony. Carmelo grabbed 10 boards. Both of them grabbed 10 boards. That's crazy. And this man, Steven Adams, is doing nothing but pick and roll. I got to watch that game. I got to figure out, because if they just got killed with the pick and roll every single time, like if it was nothing but Russ and Steven Adams just pick and roll over and over and over again, and Russ is just dumping it off to get his 20 assists, that means they might not be able to guard pick and rolls for real. Like they legitimately might not be able to guard pick and rolls. And that's a serious problem.
It is indeed. Derrick Rose played that game. Shot 55%.
He's trash.
12 points.
I'm definitely gonna get some hate for this.
Oh,
D Rose is trash.
Oh, okay.
D Rose does not need to play for the Cavs.
Why do you feel like that?
There's no rhyme or because he's redundant. Oh, he's bringing the exact same thing that Wade is bringing.
True,
but he's going to be inconsistent. He's going to be more inconsistent, and he has to have the ball in his hand for him to function. There's no rhyme or reason why Rose should be on this team anymore.
To be fair, Wade and him played the same minutes. Wade had 5 turnovers. Rose only had 1 in this game.
Who would you rather have?
Agents? Wade, easily. But okay, the problem with Wade is he doesn't... I know you like to say Rose is inconsistent, but Wade just doesn't even play some games because of he doesn't want to aggravate any previous injuries.
My guy, Rose has been out for how many games?
But that's a mental thing, yo. You got to feel for the guy, bro. Legend. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you criticizing Rose like that?
Rose is literally like... you're telling me just in the middle of... Because this is not a second year in a row now.
No, Lo. Let me explain the situation to you.
This is the second year in a row where Rose is just like... I don't feel like playing basketball anymore.
Nah, listen. Lo, he had these huge deals with Adidas. He won an MVP. His life is looking up. And every year for the next, like, extended future, he's getting injured. Career ending. Boom.
I get that. And I'm not blaming him for that.
Let me put in context. Not only did he lose out on the contract money, he's not getting max no more. In fact, didn't he get minimum on this team? How much did he get paid?
He did get. He got minimum because no one was willing to pay him.
Okay, so that's one. Two, he's no longer getting that crazy Adidas money no more because he's not that same superstar. And three, more than anything, just like anybody who's trying to make it big and dominate the NBA, his legacy is just that guy who could have been so amazing, and he was, but got injured. So if you're that guy, I understand why, like... Bro, what's the point of playing basketball anymore? So let's not criticize him like that. Let's have a little bit of sympathy for the guy, man. I would feel destroyed if all that happened to me. And he's still playing. And I know that's not who they need. Obviously, they need some defense. God, for God's sake.
They do need some defense. here's the thing. Let me be very clear, because I know people are going to be like, oh my God, you're a Rose hater. Rose, if he played for another team, would definitely be a much better fit. But because he's literally doing the exact same thing that Wade is doing. Like, literally the exact same thing.
I agree with that.
And what's even crazier is that Wade, Rose, and Isaiah Thomas are all guards who are better functioned with the ball in their hand, and they don't play defense. The only thing that's really separating Isaiah Thomas from Wade and Rose is that the fact that he's in his prime, so he's a little bit more quicker and fast. Not a little bit. He's definitely quicker and faster, especially when he's 100% healthy, and he's a better three-point shooter. But the redundancy between Isaiah Thomas, Wade, and Rose is crazy.
That's why I think they should trade away Isaiah Thomas. I don't even think he fits on the team. The only reason that's they got tough. Him is just because he was the best they could possibly get back for Kyrie. You think that was their number one option? Pick up
Let me ask you this. How much of a savage do you think they would be if they would trade Isaiah Thomas?
How was that savage?
As a side note, Kevin Love must got hurt because he only played 3 minutes.
Yeah, he definitely did got hurt. I
just saw 0 points. I was like, well, what's going on, Kevin Love? But how you don't think that would be savagery? Because, like, the whole thing with Isaiah Thomas, like, over the past, you know, few months, he's been real messed up mentally because Danny Ainge just kind of tossed him aside. What if LeBron was like, man, we got to get rid of that bum Isaiah right now, bro. He's healthy now, so get rid of him.
I do that in my gym all the time, all right? Since LeBron is...
That's my GM, bro. You just said that as if, like, that was... That's my GM.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
Could you look not in my GM, but in real life.
In real life, I'll do it.
Could you look Isaiah Thomas in real life and be like, look, man, we gotta trade you, bro.
Yep, peace. I'm out.
That's crazy.
Should they trade him? They need to get, like, I'm telling you, George Hill is the perfect fit. He needs to be traded,
but
man.
They don't need George Hill. That'll be more money on their books. That, there's no way. No.
It's not like Isaiah Thomas is light on the book. Oh, actually.
He is.
He's only making like, right? Yeah. He is. Yeah. He got that light contract.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be like that next year when he's probably going to leave.
Yeah. It's not going to be like, well, I don't know. That's what's going to be very interesting. I know we all off topic now, but I don't know what Isaiah Thomas is going to make next year. Because I really don't know.
Max.
From who?
There's going to be... Bro, if Mike From Conley who? Got Max...
Name me three teams. Name me three teams right now.
I don't know who the three teams are. It really depends how the season plays out. I just know there are teams so desperate for a player
of his caliber. Name me one then. Name me one.
The Knicks.
Huh.
Why are you saying, huh? Like, they wouldn't be desperate for a player like Isaiah Thomas.
I said that because, like, you did that a little quicker than I thought you was going to be able to. You did that a little quicker than I thought you were going to be able to. That's interesting.
Trust me, it's going to be, depending on which point guards leave and go where, Isaiah Thomas is a scorer. Teams are going to need scoring. So he's going to have a home, and he's going to demand max. So he might get close to max. He's probably going to end up getting max, especially because players like Jrue Holiday and Mike Conley have been getting crazy big money. He's going to be like, yo, y'all see those guys? All right, I'm better. I want a bigger contract. Dude, arguably, those guys are also way better defensively. But, you know, agent's going to do his thing and try and give him the best deal possible. I just don't see him staying with this team. I feel like this team could combust any second now, and we don't know when. But anyway.
That would be the most interesting storyline of all time if this team just kind of lost it mentally.
It's not that crazy a storyline. It happens all the time with bench players. And I don't know why it's the craziest thing to assume, you know, a star in the league like Isaiah Thomas can't just get traded like that. If he doesn't just fit on the team, right?
That would just be the most savage thing in the world, but, you know, I guess that's you, man.
GM LeBron. GM LeBron is a savage. Hey, I feel for him, though.
How could you be so heartless?
So you tell... I don't know if he has kids or not, but he has a family, right?
He does have kids. He has kids.
Okay, so he has kids. So you tell me, they moved to Cleveland, right? I know they didn't want to leave Boston and move to Cleveland, right? And you tell me they have to move again? They have no friends in school, man. It's crazy. They're moving every single year. I feel bad.
And what's even crazier is that they might have to move again because whoever team he gets traded to, he more than likely is not going to stay.
Why? How you know that?
If he gets traded to the Kings, bro, he's not staying with the Kings, bro. The Kings traded him to begin with.
They did.
Exactly. He definitely not staying with no Kings. That's crazy.
But at this point, if they're paying him max, I think you put that to the side.
I don't think the Kings are paying him max, though, anyway.
Hey, Kings have been known to do crazy things, man. You never know.
It's a new GM. I don't think they would.
Every GM they have had has been known to do crazy things. And more than anything is the ownership that has to okay these decisions or motivates the decisions sometimes.
But again, it's the same owner that decided to be okay to trading him.
I agree, yeah.
I don't know.
We'll see. I just know that's what I would do. All right, let's get to the part of the podcast, man, where you tell us a little player that's been on your mind. Who you been thinking about in the NBA? Who's that star player that no one's talking about?
I was going to give a shout out to LeBron, but you apparently like
no,
you LeBron,
no, no. On not, a night you, where they not, dropped 148 on him, we should stop saying
this. Well, LeBron, my man, like I said, LeBron 30,000 points. That's very impressive. So
it is.
You know,
it is.
That's very. I think he's like the sixth or seventh player in NBA history to do that.
Okay, that's all we had to say. Impressive. It's done. I feel like
so 30,000 points to you.
Okay, we'll talk more about it next podcast when he gives up 170 points.
Okay. All right. Where did I go last? I did Lauri Markkanen last time, so I'm not going to go with the Bulls again. I'm going to give a shout out to my man Jimmy Buckets. Jimmy Butler, yo.
Not Wiggins? Jimmy Butler?
Hell no, not Wiggins.
Okay, wanted to make sure. All right.
Butler, I think in the beginning of the season, Butler was like trying to allow everyone to kind of do their thing and kind of fill out the roster. And then within the last like 10, 15, maybe even 20 games, he's definitely up the ante. He's been a lot more aggressive. He's held players to a lot more, he held players more accountable. And I think he's being much more of a vocal leader on that team. So shout out to Jimmy Butler. Now they're the fourth seed. They've always been a fourth seed, but they're closing up on the Spurs as a third seed. And if they can overtake that third seed, that'll be very impressive.
Okay, man. I have a player who I didn't even I forgot played in the NBA, man, until a few days ago.
Wow.
He came up on my radar. I was like,
who, Vince Carter?
No. Come on. Why do you forget about Vince Carter? Tyreek Evans, bro. He's dropping
That's a
20
fact. That's
points
a
per
one.
Game on 30 minutes. He's playing very efficient basketball, shooting 40% from three, 46% in general field goal percentage. He's keeping the turnovers low. His numbers in general, like, I know the Memphis is getting destroyed and they're losing a lot of games, right? You know, a lot of it also due to injury and so. But it's just cool to see a player that dealt with so much injuries over the years finally consistently get minutes and prove he could still hoop in the NBA. I would, honestly, it's cool to see him on Memphis, but I kind of hope, like, some of these top teams are taking a look. You know, his contract is a little bit more reasonable now, and they start taking a shot at him. I'd like to see him on a championship contender pull up for a big shot in the playoffs or something. But Tyreek came out of nowhere for me, so he's my,
you know,
he's my guy.
You know what's crazy? I just did a video on the players that need to be traded, and Tyreek Evans was on that video, and I can't remember what his contract is. But you're right, he has a smaller contract. And if I'm not mistaken, he's definitely one of the players that many playoff teams are targeting to add to their bench. So, yeah, shout out to Tyreek, yo. Shout out to Tyreek, bro. He's playing really, really good.
Just to be clear here, he's making, oh, it's only a one-year contract, but he's making $3 million.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's almost like a picture-perfect deal, actually. It's a bargain. And I think this year, he took low money, kind of like Derrick Rose did, to prove he can hoop so that next year...
No, Derrick Rose didn't take no low money. Derrick Rose wasn't given no contract, so he had no other choice but to take low money.
I'm sure there was a bunch of teams offering him veterans minimum.
There was no one. No, there was literally agent. There was no one. Oh, you talking about Tyreek or Derrick Rose?
Derrick Rose.
No, because Derrick Rose wanted to play for San Antonio, and San Antonio didn't even give him a contract.
What does that mean? They didn't offer him veterans minimum?
No, they didn't want to sign him at all.
Damn, that's kind of tough. Yo,
exactly.
Imagine being an MVP and a few years later, they don't even want to take you for free.
You can't even get a contract in the NBA. That means that that means that Derrick Rose is literally one bad season away.
Yo, I feel
from
so
not
bad
even
for
being
him.
In the NBA no more.
I feel so bad for him, bro. I feel so bad. Oh my god.
That's you know what's crazy? People don't want to admit that, but that's what that means.
That does. That's exactly what that means. You're right. And I think he's realizing that now. And dead ass, this is gonna end on a really sad note, man, but this could be the last year we see Derrick Rose in the NBA.
No, that's kind of OD right now. Yeah, you ODing right now. But all right.
What? It's not. Listen, if a team sees him and goes, yeah, he can play on the bench, maybe. But I don't know about you, but I feel bad for the guy. But if I'm coach or GM, I don't know if I want a guy who maybe doesn't want to play basketball anymore on my team.
That's
you
a
know?
Fact. Hey, yo, we're going to get a lot of fucking Derrick Rose slander in our mentions.
I feel so bad for the guy, man. He still has a phenomenal life, right? You know, but damn, what could have been? This is one of those stories where you're just going to keep asking what if. His career's going to be over. You're going to ask what if. 20 years from now, we're going to ask what if. What if he did this?
What if, though? We already know Derrick Rose would have at best been another conference finals appearance, but he would have never won a championship.
I agree with that, especially with the current climate of the big, gigantic, super,
yeah, I'm about to
super
say, especially
teams.
Now, even if Derrick Rose is healthy, like, if healthy Derrick Rose's MVP year is not a top 10 player in the NBA right now, so.
What?
And that's how we end the podcast.
What?
All right, people. We'll catch y'all next week. We're going to pick up this conversation. Derrick Rose, top 10 player in the NBA, his MVP season. Because let's be honest, if you really think about an agent, he's not. But anything you want to wrap up on, Agent?
Yeah, the fucking comment you just made.
take the for everybody listening, take the time out and really think about it.
Hey, podcast listeners. This is Agent Zero speaking. Hey, I appreciate y'all coming through and watching, man. It can get heated when Lo says some crazy stuff sometimes, man. You got to go back at it. Yo, if you guys enjoy, man, recommend a friend. Give us a 5-star. By the way, maybe we should have said this to start the podcast. I don't know how you're going to edit it. But people kept asking. We're going to do these 2 to 3 times a week, depending on the type of action that's happening on the court. So 2 for sure. And we'll add in a third one if there's something that we really need to talk about that happened in the NBA. A lot of people were asking about the schedule. So I feel like we almost had to address this one because it was asked so much times on Twitter. I was like, I don't know how we didn't actually talk about that on the first podcast. But thanks for coming through. Thanks for everybody showing love, man. People dropping a 5-star on iTunes, showing you, telling a friend about it. It's cool to start something new, man. Me and Lo have these conversations all the time. It's cool to just mic each other up and get it on a podcast and see what other people have to say. If you disagree or not, tweet at us at callmeagent00 and at legendofwinning. Is it winning with a G or is it winning with the N?
No, it's winning with a G.
Okay, it's winning with a G. So legend of winning. And
also, as a side note, bro, before we wrap this up, it's close. It's damn near 50-50 right now, Giannis or Envy or Rose.
Oh, the voting right now? You really out a poll? I'm cheating.
I really want to know what people want to say, and it's 50-50. It's 49-51, but I mean, it's basically 50-50. Damn. But, yeah, shout out to everybody who's been listening to the podcast. A lot of people have been hitting me up as well, trying to figure out what was, you know, what's good. It was good with it. We're gonna keep y'all updated as always on our Twitters and our YouTube pages and stuff like that. On my YouTube page, I'll always make sure I put some type of preview out of, or at least explain to you that the new episode has come out, and always leave in the comment section and the sub box below, a description below, excuse me. And always on Twitter, hit us up. We're gonna always upload it when it gets posted. So. But shout out to all y'all, man. Shout out to all y'all. Y'all been rocking with us for a while. We're going to give y'all what y'all want. You dig?
Big facts. Hey, thanks for coming through. We'll catch y'all on the next one. Peace.
Peace!
Flo here with a really weird word. Buttery. Buttery? It's not quite butter. It's more butterish. Or maybe buttery is like butchery or bakery, a shop that sells artisanal butter products. Dig in, America. Now a word that's even more weird. Flotection. Sure, it's not really a word, but it is really good protection for your new home through me and Progressive. No ifs, ands, or butteries about it. Sorry.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.